Welcome to the 265th episode of the 4th and 24 podcast with Patrick Winograd. I am your host once again for today, Patrick Winograd. In this edition, our topics are a look at the NBA Finals and our weekly look at the MLB. This one will be a very, very quick podcast as, you know, not really much to talk about. Maybe when it gets closer to the All-Star break, we'll have more in the MLB to say. But everything has been pretty standard and, you know, the finals are what the finals are. But let's go back, starting with those finals. Talk about Game 3. Celtics won 106-99. It was really the Mavs who kind of, I don't want to say choked this game, but, you know, they were up one at half. They had a 16-point deficit in terms of the third quarter score, and then they did come back in the fourth quarter. They made a really close run at making this game really a game because it wasn't one for a while. But then, you know, at the end of the game, obviously, this is the game where Luka fouled out of the game. You know, it was not even a controversial call. It was just that it was kind of a dumb play by Luka. The Mavs got themselves back into the game, and then for him to foul out when he had 27-6-6 in the game, it was just, you know, it was a dumb play. It is what it is. People have hammered that point home many times. But in terms of other players, Kyrie Irving finally had a really good game in the series. 35 points for him on 13 of 28 shooting. Derek Lively with a double-double, 11 points and 13 rebounds. P.J. Washington hit three threes. He had 13 points and 8 rebounds. And then on the Celtics side of things, bench didn't do too much in this game, but limited minutes there. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, though, both had 30 points. Jaylen Brown 38 and 8 on 12 of 22 shooting, and Tatum 31-6-5 on 11 of 26 shooting. I still think Brown should be the Finals MVP if the series ends today, and he even has a decent game just because of, I mean, honestly, Tatum had a terrible game in Game 2. That shooting performance he had, just you can't reward that. And, you know, he's only put up more than 18 in a game once in the entire series so far. Whereas Jaylen Brown, of course, has had multiple contributions in all of these games. And he, you know, he had a bad game in Game 3, but he had 22 in Game 1, 21 in Game 2, 30 in Game 3. So he's been a lot more consistent than Tatum. Had one bad game in Game 4, of course, but Tatum had a pretty bad game in Game 4 as well. And speaking of Game 4, let's move on to that. That is where the Mavericks, of course, got one game, 122-84. Just not even close. I mean, the Mavs were up 13 at the end of the first. Celtics only scored 14 points in the second quarter in total. They were down 61-35 at the half. Jason Tatum led the Celtics with 15 points, but, you know, I mean, it was just a bad game for the Celtics. Really have nothing else to say about it. You know, maybe thoughts in the back of their head about, hey, we close this out at home if we lose this game. I can't say whether that's true or not. But regardless, Luka and Kyrie both did their thing. Kyrie had 21 points on 10 of 18 shooting. Luka Doncic had 29-5-5. He didn't even hit a three in this game, but he was 12 of 26 from the floor. Derek Lively had a double-double off the bench, 11 points, 12 rebounds. And Tim Hardaway came through. Five threes that he hit off the bench for the Mavs, had 15 points. But, of course, story of the series is going to be Monday, of course, tomorrow night, where Boston has Game 5, had an opportunity to close the series out at home. I think that's exactly what they will do. And then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but you will have the Celtics winning the finals, even though, you know, maybe it took a little bit longer than it could have. But with that, let's move on to the MLB. It's going to be a pretty quick recap here. Looking to keep this podcast real short, but, you know, continuing with the mini podcast trend. But you got the Yankees at the top of the AL East at 50-23. That is the best record in all of baseball. Of course, playing the Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball tonight. Been a pretty entertaining series so far there. Then you have Baltimore, who's at 46-24. They are one game behind the Phillies for the second best record in baseball, and they are playing the Phillies currently. They are 2.5 games back of the Yankees, 7-3 in their last 10. Then you have the Red Sox, who are above 500 at 36-35. They've been hovering around 500 pretty much the entire year, but now trading wins to become above or at 500, which is better than being below or at 500. And then you have the Blue Jays, who are 34-36 in fourth place, 14.5 back, and the Rays at 33-38, who are 16 back. Of course, if you're looking at the wild card, Boston 2.5 back of that final spot, Toronto 4 back, Tampa Bay 5.5. They are behind a team in the AL Central, where the Guardians lead it at 44-24. 5 games behind them are the Kansas City Royals. No team in this division better than 5-5 in their last 10. But the Royals, coming off a rough series against the Yankees, they've tied up the series with the Dodgers. We'll see if they can take that one home later today. The Twins, meanwhile, 38-32 is their record, 7 games back. They are the final wild card as things stand. Then you have the Tigers, who are 34-36, and the White Sox, who, of course, still have the worst record in baseball at 19-53. Just a terrible season for them. And then moving on to the AL West, the Mariners are at 42-31, leading this division despite only having a plus 14 run differential and despite being, frankly, a really middle-of-the-pack offensive team, but their rotation has really carried them, and the rest of their division not being so great also has helped them out a tremendous amount. But 42-31, still a solid record. It's 575 winning percentage, so it's a solid mark. It's just not one that you'd expect to be running away with the division. But then you have the Rangers at 33-37. They are 7.5 games back, lost 2 in a row after playing the Dodgers and taking the series from them. But, of course, that means that Houston is in third. So, you know, Houston, 32-39, just got rid of Jose Abreu, actually. This division just really isn't that good. There's not much to talk about here. It's just a bad year for this division. But the Angels are at 28-42 in fourth. And, of course, you have the A's at 26-46 in last. They have lost 7 games in a row. Pretty bad streak for them. And moving on to the National League, the Phillies are at 47-23. That's the best record in the National League, second best in all of baseball. Like I mentioned earlier, they are 8 games ahead of the Braves, who, despite being 4-6 in their last 10, have won 3 in a row. So starting to trend a little bit in the right direction, but, you know, still having a rough one since Acuna has been ruled out for the season. Then you have the Nationals, who are 34-36, and of course, because it's the National League, they are only a half a game out of the playoff race, the wild card spot. I'm not going to say how many games out all these teams are, but I'll just put it this way. Only the Rockies and the Marlins are more than 2 games out of a playoff spot in the National League right now. Any team that's anywhere near 500 is in the race. The Cardinals are currently in the third wild card spot with a 34-35 record, and San Diego's the second wild card, and they're at an even 500. So that's all you need to know whenever I say a record that isn't the Marlins or the Rockies. They're in the playoff race somewhere. But the Nationals, a half game out, which means that the Mets, of course, are 2 games out at 32-37. They have won 4 in a row, though, 8-2 in their last 10. They knocked the Padres down to 500 after they were 2 games above because they've won the first 2 games of that series. And then you have the Marlins at the bottom of the division at 23-47, 24 games back of the Phillies. Moving on to the Central, the Brewers are 41-29 with a plus 62 run differential, 5-5 in their last 10. The rest of their division all in a pack behind them, but pretty safely behind them. The Cardinals are in second at 34-35, 6.5 games back. Then you have Cincinnati at 34-36, they're 7 games back. The Cubs at 34-37, they're 7.5 games back. And then Pittsburgh at 33-37, who are 8 games back. So a nice little half game separating St. Louis from Cincy, from Chicago, from Pittsburgh. And finally, you have the NL West. The Dodgers are 43-29. Hit a rough patch in their schedule right now, playing the Royals and the Rangers back-to-back. But we will see what ends up happening with that Royals series. Like I said, they did drop the Rangers series, but we'll see what happens tonight to see who wins that rubber match between the Royals and the Dodgers. And San Diego is in second at 37-37. They are 7 games back of L.A. Arizona at 34-37, and the Giants at 34-37 are both 8.5 back of L.A. And finally, with the second worst record in the National League, only better than the Marlins, you have the Rockies in last place at 25-45, 17 games back in this division. None of the teams in the NL West better than 5-5 in their last 10, just like the AL Central. That is all we have for this episode of the podcast. A happy Father's Day to everybody, but you, of course, can check out the next edition of the 4th and 24 podcast next week, which should be on Sunday again, barring any changes. I might move it up, if anything, but this week had to get it in, but do it a little bit quicker. But in the meantime, be sure to check out any of my additional content from the past and stay tuned for my college football predictions, which will come out eventually, probably closer to August, honestly, just because I want to monitor any injuries and that kind of stuff and not have to change it. But I am pretty close to having those done, so maybe I'll release them early if I have the time to finish those up and get them in a place where I want. But all of that, on our website, 4thand24.com. That's the number 4, THAND, the number 24.com. Thank you for listening.